Good day, and welcome to the quarterly All-VR call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Pfaff. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us on a quarterly All-VR call. As always, we appreciate the services and support you provide to our beneficiaries. I wanted to open up today briefly and to sort of fill you in a little bit more about an employment support summit that we had on site here at Social Security on June 12 and 13 last month. We gathered a cross-section of service providers, both VR and EN, as well as other stakeholder groups, including WIPA, PABS. We had representation from federal partners, including Department of Education, RSA, and HHS, as well as Department of Labor as well. We would love to include everybody to something like this, but what we try to do is identify organizations that would offer a cross-section of supports and services to speak on a variety of topics. We did have VR participation, which was outstanding. Among the VRs that participated were representatives from the Maryland VR, New Jersey, Wisconsin, Utah, Virginia, and Vermont. There was robust discussions really centered along the what we would refer to as the life cycle of the return to work process. And really we benchmarked that in about five distinct ways, and that is starting with the outreach to the beneficiaries, techniques, best practices, and so forth to get the beneficiary engaged in thinking about returning to work. The second part is assigning the ticket or putting the ticket in for cost reimbursement. The third part was the supports and services needed to help the individual return to work. And the next step we identified as job placement and finding that person a job, getting them into employment. That's the big threshold, what techniques were used. And finally, keeping the beneficiary in employment with ongoing supports and services, and what were the best techniques to achieve that. Where we are right now with this is we are working on a summary report that is currently in draft format. It's actually under review by us right now. We will, once we get through the review process and we get the various, we're going to have a more detailed description of all the sessions and what occurred, along with a sort of a higher level summary report that will summarize the bigger picture takeaways. And we will have a whole laundry list of action items that we are already starting to delve into. So we will notify you and all of the stakeholders when those reports are ready. We hope to have them ready over the next several weeks, but we will reach out to you and notify you through a variety of means so that you can access that information. Likely, it will likely be on our Your Ticket to Work website, and also probably sent out through Gov Delivery, but don't hold me to that. We're still figuring out the communication piece right now. But suffice it to say that you will have the access to the materials, you know, for your consideration, and hopefully find it of help and benefit. So that's all I had to say about the summit. I'm going to now turn it over to Janelle Bratcher, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the claim backlog.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So I'm sure as everyone is aware, we do have quite an unprecedented number of claims backlogs. And just to give everybody a definition of what we consider backlog, so for all of our cases that have been pending over 60 days, that's what we consider to be a backlog claim. And as we mentioned previously, I think it was in the last meeting, If the claims are over 60 days pending, that's when we would like you to reach out to us for status check if you feel that's needed. Please do not reach out to us before 60 days. And we just wanted to let you guys know, over the last couple of months, this whole fiscal year, we have been receiving more than double the amount of claims monthly than we received in the past. And we only have the same amount of staff to work those claims. However, we have been granted an overtime allotment that's beginning this pay period. We're hoping that that will help us to mitigate this situation. It's definitely going to assist us in processing the backlog cases only. So we are dedicating that allotment to only working backlog claims. So we do hope that you'll be able to notice a difference very soon in some of those older cases being processed and awarded. There's also another issue that I'd like to touch on. In June, as many are aware, we did have a systems issue which prohibited claims from being submitted through the portal. That issue was fixed. It took about 7 days for everything to be mitigated. We lost, I believe, 7 days processing time. We let everyone know through a Gov delivery that if they were affected or had any claims that were affected, to please send us an email to the help desk requesting a waiver. To date, I don't believe we received any emails, and since it was only a one-week time, I don't think anybody's claim should have been affected. But if you did not receive that Gov delivery, please know that it's not too late to send us a message letting us know that you're requesting a waiver for the time period affected. If you don't have that specific date, we can provide that to you as well. So at this time, I'm going to pass the call over to Katie Strivinger to talk further about portal login issues.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. We have gotten some questions to the help desk about some issues with the portal. The first one I want to start with is about if you have a problem with your account getting locked. And many of you might be aware or might remember from our initial training when we launched the portal, the authentication we are using to log you into the portal is MySSA. So it is your MySSA account that you are using to log into the portal, and there's no control that we have over your account. If your account does get locked, you have to go contact MySSA and the help desk for that. We can't help you with that issue. I do apologize, you know, if you seem to have lockouts often. I don't know if it's a computer setting. But to be clear, there is a MySSA help desk issue. The best way to reach the MySSA help desk is a help desk dedicated to the MySSA website and log in there. You call the main 1-800 number, but when you get to the first option, it's a voice prompt, you need to say MySSA help desk. If you do not say those exact words, the response is going to give you to like a general inbox, and the person you speak to is not going to be able to help you. So if you call the phone and they don't know if they don't know then with the MySSA help desk. That should give you a person that can help you figure out your account and what's getting lost. Like I said, unfortunately, we can't do anything to help you. We can't unlock your account. We can see that you lost yourself, we can see lost issues, you know, that you're having issues, but we can't actually fix it. We don't have the access here in SSA. You have to deal with that main desk. And once again, I do apologize, but that is how our portal is built. And, you know, the best we can do is get you to people who can fix it. Another thing that came up that I want to make you aware of is we did have a small systems problem where files that you submit every month, your opening and closure files, you may have seen that some of your records are getting the error code EA27 in the months of April, May, and June. If you submitted files for April, May, and June, and you got that error code, please, in your July file, resubmit those cases, and those SSNs should work. There was a small blip, and it was doing a check incorrectly for the current pay indicator, and that has been fixed. So, like I said, it should be the files you submitted for April, for May, and for June. You can either resubmit your entire files again. The system will just pick out something that's already assigned, or you can pull out those records that you got the VA 27 for and resubmit those in a separate file. And like I said, there's no rush to do that. You can do that at your own convenience. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we have fixed the problem and you can now assign those tickets or put those cases in use. And I'm going to hand the call over now to Shada.
Hey, Katie, it's Raquel. Actually, part of your message, the cell phone was breaking up. So if you could just repeat the part in regards to the error code that
sure.
the VR is receiving. No, we already
sure, I apologize for that. The code is VA27. Current pay status for 7 months could not be determined. Please resubmit those. Those will be affected by your files for April, for May, and for June. At your convenience, you can resubmit either just the records where that got the error code, VA27, or you can resubmit those exact same files with no harm to you whatsoever. It'll just say that, you know, it's already been assigned and it'll fail. So don't worry about that. You can either resubmit the whole file or just the ones that got that error code, and that's VA27.
Thank you, Katie. And again, if for the VRs that didn't hear, it's V as in Victor, A as in Apple, 27 is the error code. And we're now going to turn it over to Natalie Sindeldorfer to discuss suitability clearance. Natalie?
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to let everyone know about a slight change in our suitability application process. Right now, the VR offices, the signatory authority in each office sends EQIP applicant listing along with the OF-306 and the Fair Credit Report application to me, and I send that over to the Office of Suitability. Starting now, the signatory authority will now send those three initial forms to suitability directly with a CC to Bashiro Camara, who's in our office. Bosch will now be the point of contact for all suitability issues. So when you send the three original forms to suitability, please CC him. And any questions you have regarding suitability, you can contact him. We will be sending out an email blast to all the VRs to let you know the new process along with Bosch's new contact information.
And also keep in mind that all of this information we always write up. So you'll have the notes within a week or so. They get archived for anyone who's not on the call or for anyone who's missing information. That information will appear. It should be by next week. Now we're going to go ahead and turn the call over to Shada Roper.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. We're coming to the end of the federal fiscal year, so we know we need to provide a final VR on-site training. So far, we are soliciting for dates in August and September, and Raquel will be providing the same kind of email that she sent out to you for ideas about the call. We'll use that same platform to send you some dates between August and September for training and try to give you maybe two different options. So if anyone's interested, we are planning to make sure before the end of this fiscal year to have our regular two-day training. The RSA codes, we've had some questions about them having to do with WIOA. The codes were scheduled to be trained a couple years ago, changed a couple years ago, but they had not. So in lieu of using the RSA codes, we always provide our SSA codes, and we're asking that if you're having any problems to just use the SSA code in that matches whatever it is that the RSA code in or what comes close to it at this time, because the SSA codes have not changed and we're not planning to change them anytime soon. And we'll get back to you regarding the RSA changes at a later date. Thank you. We would like to pass this on to Candace for savings to the trust fund and the portal to calculate.
Good afternoon, everyone. We have had several inquiries from the VR agencies questioning whether or not the VR calculator in the portal was computing correctly the maximum payout for each claim for the payment code 950 and also the denial code 610 when there is a $0 amount due. The systems analysts have reviewed these claims and have determined that the VR payment calculator in the portal and the ITOPS payment system does match. The difference is the amount you're entering in the portal calculator for SDI or SSI versus what was actually entered on the claim. For instance, we have to use the last amount in current pay for SSI unless benefits cease or terminate. We use the last amount prior to that date. For SDI, we use the last amount that coincides with the last month of SGA. Unless benefits are terminated, we use the amount prior to that date as well. The maximum amount also changes if we are paying a concurrent claim with both SDI and SSI. You must enter both amounts in the portal calculator versus the SDI or SSI only. If you enter all factors for the claim paid, the maximum payout should match. If you have any questions about the savings to the trust fund calculations, please contact me directly or the help desk, and we will be happy to assist you. I'm going to now turn this over to Raquel Donaldson.
Thank you, Candace. I just have two last topics to discuss before we open up the call for question and answers. The first is case closure request. So I received my case closure request two ways. The first way is from the benefit support hotline. That is when the client beneficiary contacts the hotline directly and they want to have their case closed or they want to have it moved to a different VR or EN, whatever the situation. I just want to remind you all that a beneficiary can request closure at any time for any reason. We do not question it. So that's one way that I receive it. Once I do get it, you all, some of you, have received emails from me just requesting that the case gets closed in the portal. And then once you do that, you follow up with me, and I let the benefit hotline know that the case has been closed. The other way is VR to VR. So sometimes I may receive in the help desk an email from one of the VRs requesting that they have a client that's come to them from a different VR and they want to close the case. In situations like that, that is between the two VRs to actually work out. I try to assist with that, but that's not our responsibility to, because one VR may say, hey, we're still working on this case, and the other VR is saying something different. And then in those situations where there's not an agreement, I always suggest that the beneficiary goes to the hotline, and if they want that case closed with the current VR, they can get it done quickly. So that's just a heads up in regards to a case closure request. Lastly, and just so you know, the benefit support hotline is 866-968-7842. And again, this will all be posted in the recap report that we submit after the all VR call. Lastly is the fiscal year 20 cost formula. As we all know that they're doing away with the 113, we actually had a meeting. We went down to RSA on May 8th. And when I say we, I'm speaking of our branch chief, Janelle, Shada Roper, Shauna Dixon, Candace Whaley, and myself. We all met with David Steele and Chris Pope. It was a great meeting. We sat down with them. We actually went over what our now cost limit looks like and how it's going to change using the different verbiage that the RSA 911 is going to have. So we didn't want anyone panicking. We want you guys to know that you're still going to receive the email from me to the end of September with the new information. We'll be more than happy to walk you through it, but it should be like it is now, self-explanatory. You'll receive it in the same form, so it'll either be a Word document or you can use the Excel documentation. It'll be updated from the one that Eugenia created a couple years ago. That is all that I have. We're going to go ahead, operator, and open up the call for questions and answers, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause again for a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. We will now take our first question from Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Eugenia from Oregon, dear. When you were talking about the RSA codes versus the SSA codes, you're talking the service codes, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because, you know, we have all kinds of codes coming out of all kinds of places. So the service codes on the claims themselves and whether you're entering those claims manually or submitting them in the batch format. So we really need to verify which one we're using, because I know when you're entering a claim manually in the portal, you choose which ones you want to use, the RSA versus SSA code. So we can still continue using either or.
Yes.
Okay. A question on, this is for Katie. I had the issue of trying to get a person a ticket assigned, but it was showing them not in current pay when the SVES data did show them in current pay. And I was told that there was some sort of mismatch because they were getting child benefits and claiming off of another person, probably a parent. So is that something that's going to be corrected? Because I see quite a few discrepancies between the SVE, or the State Verification Exchange System, and the data that's in the portal. So do we just contact you, Katie, directly when we see that that person should be in current pay?
Hi. This is Kate. Okay, so you're talking about a specific example. Right. The example you had is... it's pulling from a record that ITOPS is not pulling from. In those cases, you would have to contact the help desk if you're seeing something in the SDES that does not match in the portal.
Okay, so because they should align, is that correct?
No, there are limitations inherent to the main system that we get the information from. At this point, we're working, we're working to get it corrected, but it's a major fix that we're working on. It's in the work, but it's not something that, you know, I'm going to say it's fixed in the next 3 months. So for now, it is going to be something that we're going to have to do manual. It's just a manual override that we're going to have to do.
Okay.
But yes, ideally they would, but in the example you sent, our system doesn't look that far into the record. It was a cross-reference record, and sometimes cross-references don't populate to ITOPS as the way we wish they would.
Okay, so if we have an instance where... if we have an instance where the SVES data that we're looking at, or if we know they're getting child benefits off of a parent, we might want to pay particular attention to the portal to make sure that they match, and if not, we trust the SVES data because of that cross match thing.
Yes. I would definitely send it in, and we'll have to do, we can do something manually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Go ahead.
So we really should be paying attention more to the SVES data, because it's going to do more cross-referencing, is what my interpretation is, what you're saying.
Yeah, the SVES system is, I'm going to call it, air quote, more modern. than the disability control file, which ITOP is pulling from. The disability control file was created back, you know, the origin of the ticket program. So it's really, really, really old, and the SDES is not. So the SDES has more sophisticated programming.
Okay.
So it's definitely giving you better records than the system ITOPS is relying on. So, yes, if you do see something in the SDES, use that, and we can usually look in our system. You know, and like I said, we can manually do this because we can see the same thing you're seeing. But ITOPS is not picking that up automatically because we have to go back and make a core change to the software, and we haven't been able to accomplish that yet.
So I just want to know which one I should trust versus, you know, before I set up an inquiry, I want to make sure that I have it correct.
The SDES was accurate, and so I would say continue to send them up where the SDES has something that makes it look like it's assignable, and then the portal doesn't disagree until we reach a point where we find an example of, you know, I think as we go through these, we'll find examples of, in this instance, trust the SDES, in this instance, but I think right now, the example you gave us, SDES had the right information versus the portal.
Okay, so and when I'm logging in now, it just happened to me the other day when I'm logging into the portal, the TCM, my own personal Social Security account, and it did it like 3 times in a row, and it's the same link that I used to get into the portal. Is that
We can't hear you that well. You're breaking up. We can't hear you that well. We do have to move on to see if we have any other questions as well. Feel free to send any additional questions to the help desk, or you can send them to me directly. This is Janelle.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional remarks. Two more questions have arrived. I'll put through Dawn Duval. One moment, please.
Hello, this is Dawn Duval from Alaska. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Dawn, we can hear you.
I just wanted to touch on something that Eugenia was asking at the end there. Sometimes when I sign into the portal, you do go through mysSA.gov, and it logs me into my personal account. And there's no way to differentiate which one it's going to log into. I just have to log out and re-log in sometimes several times before I get to my work portal. Is there any way to address that or avoid that?
Hi, this is Katie. My guess is that you're getting kicked out of the portal, and because you're getting kicked out of the portal, you're going to the Splash, it's sending you to the Splash, because let me start over. So you're going in, you actually, that little login screen that you're going in is actually the login like screen for both MySSA and the portal. It's using the same screen, but the link you use tells it that you want to, so the link you're using tells it you want to go to the portal. Well, if the portal for some reason rejects your login, it's going to kick you back out, but then you end up in the splash page for MySSA. So it's not that you actually, you kind of did log into MySSA, but that's not where you intended to go. It's just that the portal kicked you out, and because it logged you in, that's where you ended up at MySSA.
Okay, so it's just going to happen periodically.
How often does this happen? I'm wondering if we're just maybe having, you know, like any other server. I know we have blips.
I would say probably one out of every 3 to 5 times I log in, it does that to me, and I just have to log out and re-log in.
If you could, to the help desk, if you could start just keeping track of when it happens for us, and then, like, at the end of, let's say, a week, if you could send it to us, and then we could go look, and we could go check the logs, and we could see what's going on, if there's some other issue.
Okay.
That would be really helpful for us to tracking, because maybe at a certain time in the day, there's a volume, and it's doing, you know, it would help us try to identify what's going on. If you could maybe for us log what's happening and when it happens to you, because that is, I have yet to hear that before. I haven't heard that before, so I would like to investigate that further.
Okay. Well, I only go in there once or twice a month, so it's going to be more than 1 week's time. It'll be months down the road before I can send you a log of when it occurred.
Well, I guess the next time it happens to you, if you could just write it down.
Sure, sure. And then who do I mail that to? Just the The help desk? VR help desk?
Yes, the VR help desk.
Okay.
I was going to say, do you know if you, is it during the work week?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's when I'm at work.
When the work week? Okay. Because I know they do maintenance on Saturdays, so I was wondering if maybe some maintenance was kicking out, but it's during the week.
No,
okay,
it's
but
been
yeah,
doing
the
it
kind of
since
happens,
the...
If you said,
it's been occurring since the very beginning of the portal. It's just not been talked about or brought up recently. And so when I heard the tail end of Eugenia talking about it, I became more interested and wanted to hear what you guys had to say about that, because it's, I mean, sometimes it's pretty annoying. I have to log in and out 3 or 4 times to have it go into the actual portal so I can do work.
Yeah, if you could log that, or anybody else on the call listening, if this happens to you, if you could please just, like, mark it down what time it was and what you did, and send it to the help desk, we could start tracking it so we can have systems investigate further. Like I said, I haven't heard about that till Eugenia just mentioned it, and then you corroborated it, so.
Yeah, it's
like
been
said, we,
since the beginning.
We say can't get into the portal ourselves. We are not allowed in, so I rely on all of you to report any problem that you have. And you're guinea pigs, especially if something doesn't work, we're going to reach out to you. Does this work now? Can you recreate this now? Because we cannot test this ourselves in live production. So we rely on you. So thank you for the information. And you can log that and send it over. We'd appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Raquel. I'm not sure if you're able to all see the chat, the group chat, but Paulette from New Jersey VR, thank you. She just gave some very good advice in regards to when you get this issue, cleaning out your cookies and then signing back in. Just a FYI, if you're able to see the group chat. And just for everyone to know, with the VR help desk, you know, I don't want you all waiting until you get on the quarterly calls if you're having these issues. I mean, you know, that's what I'm here for, and the information gets immediately forwarded to Katie. So, you know, Dawn, I wasn't aware, I'm sorry, that you were having this issue. So everyone that's having an issue like this, David, I see you've had the same issue. Please email the VR Help Desk so I can make Katie aware of these issues ASAP. Because that's the only way they're going to get resolved.
Oh, they're all saying.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
One moment, please. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing *2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1. We'll just wait a moment. We're experiencing some technical difficulties. If you could please stand by, we'll be with you in just a moment.
Operator, are we still having some type of difficulty?
We are experiencing some difficulty at the moment. We're going to have to postpone the Q&A until we have resolved this issue, unfortunately. It'll just take a couple of minutes.
Well, it seemed as though we were actually almost done. If there's anyone, can the callers, can everyone that called in hear me, operator?
I believe that they appear still connected, yes.
Okay.
The conference
so,
is still
thank you, Julie. Thank you, Carla. So for everyone that's still on the call, we do apologize. We're not sure what's going on our end in regards to the technical difficulties. If there's anyone else that does still have a question or concern, you know where to reach us. Email the VR Help Desk, and we'll be more than happy to follow up with you all. In the meantime and in between time, our next call it will be Tuesday, October 8th at 3 p.m., please remember the October call is always Raquel's birthday. So, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone else have a wonderful, wonderful summer. Stay cool. And we thank you for the call.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.